childhood vaccine schedule gets a major reset. A sweeping new executive order could significantly reshape childhood vaccine policy by prioritizing individualized recommendations, parental choice, flexible scheduling, and new scrutiny of vaccine safety. The top line. The executive order would reshape the childhood vaccine schedule by narrowing universal recommendations, shifting some vaccines to risk-based or shared decision-making categories, and directing HHS to study vaccine timing, sequencing, and spacing. It would expand parental and clinician choice by encouraging more individualized vaccination decisions, making separate measles, mumps, and rubella vaccines available alongside MMR, and prompting review of school vaccine mandates and exemptions. It calls for additional vaccine safety research, including comparative studies of aluminum adjuvants, development of possible alternatives, stronger safety monitoring, and ongoing evaluation of the benefits and risks of childhood vaccines. President Trump's August 10th executive order, delivering gold standard childhood vaccine recommendations for Americans, marks a significant change in federal vaccine policy. The order directs the federal government to align core childhood vaccine recommendations more closely with those of peer, developed countries, while preserving access to vaccines and giving parents and doctors greater discretion over individual decisions. The new framework divides recommendations into three categories: vaccines recommended for all children, vaccines recommended primarily for certain high-risk groups, and vaccines to be considered through shared clinical decision-making. Universal recommendations would include vaccines for measles, mumps, rubella, diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, polio, Haemophilus influenzae type B, pneumococcal disease, HPV, and varicella. Other vaccines, including hepatitis A and B, meningococcal vaccines, influenza, COVID-19, rotavirus, and dengue, would fall into risk-based or shared decision-making categories depending on the circumstances. ANH has long argued that there is a difference between asking whether an individual vaccine can prevent a particular disease and asking whether the entire childhood schedule, its timing, sequencing, combinations, and cumulative exposures has been adequately studied. We're not alone in asking these questions. A 2013 report from the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine noted that key elements of the vaccine schedule have not been systematically examined in research studies. The executive order now directs the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, to assess the ideal timing and sequencing of core childhood vaccines and revise the federal schedule where appropriate. More choice on timing and combination vaccines. The order also calls for the combined measles-mumps-rubella, MMR, vaccine to eventually be available as three separate single-disease vaccines. Combination vaccines would remain available. It further states that, to the maximum extent feasible, childhood immunizations should be given at separate medical visits. Whether separating vaccines or spacing them differently produces better outcomes will require careful research. But giving parents and clinicians more options could allow vaccine decisions to be better tailored to an individual child rather than forcing families into an all-or-nothing approach. That is an important component of meaningful informed consent that has largely been absent from the discourse for many years. Aluminum adjuvants get a closer look. Another significant provision directs HHS to develop alternatives to aluminum adjuvants and conduct comparative safety and efficacy studies. Aluminum salts have been used for decades in vaccines to strengthen the immune response. ANH has previously reported on questions surrounding cumulative aluminum exposure from childhood vaccines. A 2022 CDC-funded observational study involving more than 325,000 children found an association between greater vaccine-associated aluminum exposure before age 2 and persistent asthma later in childhood. A common refrain from those who tell us not to worry about these aluminum exposures is that aluminum is an abundant metal found in many foods, but this does not account for different absorption rates from aluminum ingestion versus direct injection. There are many issues with the use of aluminum in vaccines that we've raised for years. The FDA has set a limit on the amount of aluminum that can be in vaccines, but this number was based on the amount of aluminum required to enhance the effectiveness of the vaccine. The agency has not empirically determined the safest amount of intramuscularly injected aluminum, relying instead on mere belief that current levels are safe. The EPA determined a minimum risk level for orally ingested aluminum based on rat studies, which is often what is used to justify aluminum adjuvants in vaccines. The problem is that ingesting aluminum orally, where only about 0.25% is absorbed and then filtered by the kidneys, is very different than injecting it directly into muscle, where it may be absorbed at nearly 100% efficiency over time and can accumulate in organs, including the brain. This gap in evidence verifying the safety of aluminum adjuvants in vaccines, combined with evidence demonstrating the potential of real harm, is unacceptable and should understandably concern any parent who entrusts health authorities with the safety of their children. If aluminum remains the safest and most effective adjuvant for certain vaccines, rigorous comparative studies should demonstrate that. If safer or more effective alternatives exist, families deserve to know that as well. A shift toward parental choice. The executive order also encourages states to review school vaccine requirements and directs federal agencies to examine protections involving parental authority, religious liberty, disability accommodations, and medical or religious exemptions where applicable under federal law. This could represent a broader philosophical shift in vaccine policy away from relying primarily on mandates and toward building public confidence through transparency, education, and informed consent. ANH's advocacy has centered for decades on preserving patient choice, so this is a welcome change. Too often, state legislatures have moved to limit or eliminate exemptions to vaccines and thus restricting patient autonomy. We should all have a say over what medical procedures our children are exposed to, yet this foundational principle is too often abandoned when it comes to vaccines. The real test, however, comes next. Within 90 days, the HHS Task Force on Safer Childhood Vaccines must develop plans addressing vaccine timing and sequencing, aluminum alternatives, continuous risk-benefit evaluation, improved safety monitoring, and greater transparency. Families should not have to choose between unquestioning acceptance of every vaccine recommendation and rejecting vaccination altogether. There is room for a more evidence-based discussion about which vaccines are appropriate, for whom, at what age, in what sequence, and supported by what evidence. This executive order may finally move that conversation forward. Please share this article widely with your networks.